So our text for this fourth Sunday in Advent is John 1, verse 20. Who are you? Who are you? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the fact of the matter was, back in the day, the time of Jesus, circumstances as they were, the fact of the matter was, John the Baptist really had to be someone. I mean, if John the Baptist were not someone, then why were people going out from Jerusalem beyond that little town of Bethany to see John, to hear him preach, to be baptized by him? I mean, he truly had to be someone. There was, after all, that outlandish dress, the camel's hair robe, the leather girdle. There was also the diet, locusts, wild honey. Ever thought about that, that diet of John's? Back in high school in physics class, our teacher had one day each year where he would bring in one of those small Hamilton Beach fryers that Joe Namath used to plug. Our teacher would bring in that fryer and he would fry all sorts of things and challenge students to eat them, mostly bugs. A lot of students ate smaller bugs that were fried in that fryer, like ants and crickets, and they'd eat them just by tossing them in their mouth and swallowing them. The coup de grace for the teacher, however, was when he pulled out a locust. Now, that locust he fried up was quite large, maybe 3 inches long or more, and being quite large, it couldn't simply be swallowed like those smaller bugs had been. It had to be chewed and eaten. And yes, I know that locusts are eaten in many places around the world, but not here and not there in Loveland, Colorado in 1983. Well, one student tried, big lineman from the football team, and with all of us watching, he really did try, and he got it into his open mouth, but he couldn't bite down. He just couldn't get himself to bite down on that locust, and I was thinking of John the Baptist, pastor's kid. That's what John ate for food, locusts. So John had to be something. So the question was, who was he? Who was John? Was he the one promised by God to King David? That is, was John the Baptist the one promised by God to sit on the throne of David forever? The anointed one, is that who John was? The Christ? The answer was no. That would be Jesus. How about the one, the prophet? We heard about that in the Old Testament. The prophet promised to Moses and the children of Israel who would have the words of God, and he would speak to the children of Israel as God would have him speak. Is that who John the Baptist was? No. No, that prophet would also be Jesus. So Elijah. Certainly John the Baptist must be the prophet Elijah. I mean, he looked like Elijah, and he lived like Elijah, and he preached like Elijah. He must be Elijah. Well, the prophet Malachi had prophesied that Elijah had been taken up into heaven. You remember that from Sunday school. That Elijah had been taken up into heaven, would return from heaven before the Christ would appear. So surely John the Baptist must be Elijah. For John had to be someone, someone important. John the Baptist was not Elijah, the actual prophet Elijah. Elijah, who would later appear with Moses alongside of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here, it can be a bit confusing for John the Baptist would actually be the Elijah who was to come. But the Elijah who was to come would not be the actual prophet Elijah descended from heaven, but one who would preach in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. And that was indeed John the Baptist, as Jesus would say. But John was not the actual prophet Elijah. So not being the Christ, not being the prophet, not being the prophet Elijah, who actually was John the Baptist? Well, John identified himself, John did, he identified himself as simply a preacher. A preacher. As the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. A preacher. That's who John the Baptist was. Now, that really doesn't sound like much, does it? Doesn't sound like much until we listen once again to what it is that John the Baptist was saying, what he was preaching, how it is that John was making straight the way of the Lord. Luther, a few years before his death, described John's preaching this way: I'm the voice calling. I am the angel, that is messenger, the angel who is sent before the Lord to announce to you that you are to prepare and to make straight the way for him, the Lord who is following close after me. Lay then aside all that may hinder his way. Put away gross and open sins. But above all, the sins of the Spirit, which have the appearance of holiness, but which most impede, that is, prevent Christ coming to you. Receive Christ with rejoicing. Obey Christ and believe in him. And come to be baptized. If you do this, you'll be blessed by God. You'll receive the forgiveness of your sins. And you will truly become his people, saved and holy. But if you will not let yourselves be taught, intending to remain in your old nature, all hope will be gone, and your doom will be upon you before you expect it. For the axe, you know, it's not lying under the bench, neither is it hanging on the wall, but even now the axe is being laid to the root of the tree. So the man to whom I point and witness, so John the Baptist, pointing to Christ, the man to whom I point is not so weak and contemptible as you might think. Truly, I say to you, he's stronger than I am. He's so great and holy. And I'm not able to unloose the ties of his sandals, for he himself is God. He's God. God the Lord. Behold, he comes to you full of grace, that he may help you. Help you out of all your need and make you righteous and blessed. If you receive him, if you receive him, all will be well with you. If not, he will soon finish with you. So Luther describing the preaching of the preacher, John the Baptist, the powerful preaching of John the Baptist, the proclamation of repentance, the insistence that we humble ourselves, confessing our sins of thought, word, and deed, despairing of any capacity on our part to somehow change the spiritual situation in which we find ourselves in life, let alone rescue ourselves from the hole we find ourselves in, the hole we ourselves have dug by all the things we have said, all the things we have thought, all the things we have done. No, John the Baptist was not the Christ. And he wasn't the prophet, and he wasn't Elijah. But ultimately, he was someone. John the Baptist was someone, the greatest of the prophets, Christ called him, and yet with John the Baptist, there was no miracles. There were no miracles with John. Only words. Words. Words of repentance and a turning to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But let's be honest. Let's be honest here. Words are so extremely important, aren't they? Words. I mean, we know that, right? If they were not, if the conveyance of thoughts using words were not so important, why do companies across the nation spend so much money on advertising? Why so much money? it is estimated, for example, that next year over $300 billion, $300 of them, will be spent on advertising in the United States. $300 billion. Now, with the population of the United States being somewhat over 300 million people, what that means is that companies will spend almost $1,000 for each and every person in the United States. $1,000 a person, every single person, to convey their message, their ideas, their words to us in some way. $1,000 each. Now, we might counter here and say, well, that's because they want us to buy something. Well, yes, that's exactly what they're trying to do. And they know they can move us to buy what they're selling through words, through the conveyance of thoughts, through simple sentences, sentences that are so powerful. So let's not somehow in our sin come to the conclusion that John the Baptist was not that important because he was not the miracle-working Christ, nor even the miracle-working prophet Elijah. But all that John did was preach. Because it was not that John was just a preacher. It was that he preached the Word of God. Proclaiming not some sort of advertising slogan for us to internalize and act upon the next time we're at Target, but the very Word of God. The very Word of God to us. Repent. Repent. Admit that we are not living as we should. Come to grips with the fact that we should do much better every day, but we just keep failing and we keep falling and we keep flopping from one situation to the next, and we do that because we are defective sinners and throwing up our hands in the air. We say, well, that's just the way we are, but that's not going to solve the problem for us. The only one who can solve the problem of us is the one to whom John the Baptist pointed. The Christ, the Son of God, the one who takes on the problem of us. That's what Christ does. He takes on the problem of us and doesn't give us tips and tricks and mantras to overcome ourselves, but Jesus Christ takes the problem of us into himself. All that we've ever done or said or thought, and he then does not shrink away. He does not gasp at our lives, being so appalled by what he finds. And he doesn't turn around and walk slowly away from us, but having taken on the problem of us, he gives to us the solution of him. He gives to us the solution of him. That is, our Lord and Savior Jesus gives to us his holiness and his righteousness and his sinlessness, cleansing our consciousness and sharing with us the peace which only he can give. In other words, turning to Christ, asking for forgiveness for our sins are forgiven. They are forgiven. And they continue to be forgiven every single day. That is, day after day after day after day, so that we can live in Christ, the life of Christ, a whole new life in Christ. And that whole new life to which John the Baptist points us through Christ is a life of what? It's a life of rejoicing. We heard that in the epistle reading. Rejoicing as we can interact with those around us, knowing that Christ will soon return. And that being the case, we don't need to be anxious about anything. That's what it says in the epistle. And through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we can let God, our Heavenly Father, know everything that's on our hearts. Everything. That's our daily life in Christ. Our daily life in Christ, to which John the Baptist points us. He points us simply with his preaching. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.